Good morning, everyone. Call to order the January 22nd, 2020 variance hearing. My name is Corey Teague. I'm the zoning administrator. I'm joined today by our executive secretary, Eva Atajera Taylor, and our planner technician, Vlad Vallejo. Just going to go over some general information about the hearing today, starting with the order of presentation. First, project sponsors are allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the 5 required findings are met to justify a variance. The project sponsor should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, both supporters and opponents of the proposed variance, are allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there is any public testimony in opposition to a proposed variance, the project sponsor is allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal. I may ask questions of the project sponsor or members of the public. And at the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement. I may continue the item to a future date, or I may indicate my action on the item today. Items listed on the consent calendar are matters considered routine by the zoning administrator, and if anyone would like to speak on these items, please step up when that item is called. Otherwise, it will be granted. There are currently 3 items listed on the consent calendar today. Public comment at the end of the hearing is allowed for items not on today's agenda. So if members of the public are allowed 3 minutes each to speak at that time if they wish. Planning Code Section 305C requires that the zoning administrator determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to make the following 5 findings for each variance. Finding 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class of district. Finding 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finding 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Please be aware that no decision is actually final until a decision letter is issued. And due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of a decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet located at the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. The zoning administrator's action to grant or deny a variance may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the decision letter. And again, no decision is final until that decision letter is issued. Private conversations can be very disruptive to the hearing, so please conduct all such conversations outside the hearing room. And the next variance hearing is scheduled for next month, February 26, 2020. Audio recordings of variance hearings are also available on the Planning Department's website, and that goes back to January 1st, 2011. So we'll move on to today's calendar. A couple of quick housekeeping items before we call them. Item number 5 for 876 Elizabeth Street will be continued to April 23rd, 2020 for a joint hearing with the Planning Commission because a request for discretionary review was filed on the associated building permit. Similarly, item number 10 for 1088 Howard Street will be continued to April 16th, 2020 for a joint hearing with the Planning Commission for the same reason. And so with that, we will call the continuance calendar.
Okay, moving to our consent calendar, item number 1, case number 2019-000606 VAR 1055 Ines Avenue, front setback variance sought. Item number 2, case number 2019-002840 VAR 401 28th Street, rear yard variance sought. And last item in our consent calendar, item number 3, case number 2018-008840 VAR 108 South Park, rear yard variance sought.
Is there any public comment on any of these items on the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, public comment for those items are closed and they will be granted with the standard conditions. And we'll move on to our regular calendar.
Moving to our regular calendar, item number 4, case number 2019-0123 39VAR, 372 Dolores Street, exposure and open space variances sought. Project sponsor here. Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes. Project sponsor for 372 Dolores. As mentioned earlier, item number 5, case number 2019-000634 VAR 876 Elizabeth Street, rear yard variance sought, has been continued to April 23, 2020. Moving to item number 6, case number 2019-006744 VAR 31 Clipper Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor for this project here?
Yes.
Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes. Sure.
Okay, 5 minutes.
Okay.
Sorry now.
Yes, you have 5 minutes, and just make sure you speak into the mic.
Okay, we'll do.
We also have it on the. There's a clock on the.
It's right here in front of you.
Yes.
The
on
the
right.
right in front of you. The clock is right here.
It's probably so obvious that I can't see. Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, so good morning, everybody. So thanks for the opportunity to speak here. So we wanted to present our request for variance at 31 Clipper Street and have a few slides. So this is, let me see, presentation mode. Okay, so this is our family. We're four of us. We have two girls, Tanya, 14, and Julia, 12. They wanted to be here, but we forced them to go to school today. They're in the San Francisco public school system. Myself, I work in education. I'm a lecturer at UC Berkeley, and my wife works with educational software. We've been residents of San Francisco for a long time. This is our building on Clipper Street. It's an older building. It was built 110 years ago in 1909. We purchased it in 2010, and we inherited several problems with the building. Limited space and very poor configuration as bits and pieces of the building were added over time. There's only one legal bedroom in the building, and many aspects were not to code. So the justifications of the project and of the variance are first, our family really wants to stay in San Francisco, and we need extra space. Particularly, we only have one legal bedroom on the second floor, and we need another bedroom for our teenage girls who currently share a space, and this is becoming more and more contentious and complicated for them. It's very legal, very difficult to add a legal bedroom without this variance, given that it's a limited space in the apartment. And also there is, we don't have any direct access to the yard from the second floor. This is something that we inherited, and it goes to one of the five points mentioned initially of using reasonable property rights. So that's another aspect that we would like to correct. Second set of justifications for the project, I think, which would be interesting for the city, is that we, as part of the project, we are proposing to add a new dwelling unit to the ground floor. So we would increase the stock of available units for the city, and we know how important that is. The ground floor currently does not have space for a legal bedroom without the variance, so this is another important justification for the variance to allow us to add this unit downstairs. And finally, we want to bring the entire building to code. I think what's important as part of the project, many details that need to be brought to code. So we thought of an initial design option of that did not require a variance. And because it was so complicated to find the space in our building, this option would be to go up a third floor. So this we looked at this, but it was not doable. First of all, because it was incredibly expensive given the current construction costs. And second, that we thought that was really going to impact the view and the privacy of our neighbors. So we thought it was much better to evaluate an option that requires a modest variance, but that does not have these impacts. So our current design maintains only two floors. It does require a variance in order to carry this out. But with a modest variance, we would be able to create a second bedroom on our second floor where we live. We would have enough space to add this unit with a legal bedroom and down floor and the ground floor, and we would have also have access to the yard. So I think with a modest variance, we would be able to accomplish all of the things that we set out. And it's important to finish by saying that this current design really does minimize the cost and impact on our neighbors. It avoids the construction of a third floor, which we mentioned. It includes a minimal expansion of the second floor in relation to the existing footprint. We really wanted to minimize that. I know we have 27 seconds left. It allows us to have the ground floor addition to add a new unit to the market, again, with limited impact on neighbor view and privacy. There's actually already a fence in that area where we would add this new room, so it would be a modest change. And this is a photo of that. And then we do have support from our neighbors, letters that we received. No issues were raised during the public comment period, and the signs have been posted as expected. And finally, this is the last slide, benefits to our neighbors, minimum impact on privacy and views, improved aesthetics of our building. We would repair a siding that's adjacent to one of the neighbors. And finally, we create two family-friendly units on our block and where we've seen fewer and fewer families live.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I will close the public comment. Thank you for the presentation. I would ask if you haven't already, if you could please submit that to the department, your presentation. If you could submit a PDF of that, if you don't mind emailing that to the project planner.
Yeah, we'd be glad to do it. Okay. There's appendix slides with the plans and all that.
Great.
That'll be part of it.
That would just be nice to have for the file. No, I appreciate that you touched on a lot of the issues that we look at for variance. You mentioned a lot of valid points in terms of the existing layout, the nature of the lot and the development pattern in the area. A couple of things you didn't mention, there's a pattern of large front setbacks here in terms of pushing the homes deeper. The lots here on this block are actually larger and deeper than our typical lots, and there's a very large intact mid-block open space, and what's being proposed here is fairly modest and will improve the layout of the existing building and help add another unit. It's not very far off from being code compliant as it is relative to the
pop-out
that is permitted there. And as you said, there's no existing third story, there's no vertical addition proposed here. So I would be inclined to grant this variance with the standard conditions.
Thank you. Really appreciate
Thank you very
that.
Much.
Thank you.
Moving
everyone.
To item number 7, case number 2018-009100VAR, 160 Central Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor here? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Hello. My name is Sarah, and we are here today for our property at 160 Central Avenue. My siblings and I have owned the building for over 30 years. We were given it to from our parents. It's an owner-occupied building. It's an apartment building, but myself, my husband, and my sister live in the building, plus our tenants. And the building is 120 years old, and it requires constant maintenance. So we are here because the backside of our building is in disrepair. It's got broken cement, wood rot, the whole nine yards. We actually, there was a garage there when we purchased the building in 1991, but we tore it down because it was just rotting away. And so it's been this sort of like carport situation since then. And we would just basically like to improve the backside of this building. It needs, we've been patching it for so long that at this point we're just beyond that, and we really need to just tear it all down and rebuild it from scratch. And because it is technically the backyard, it is a corner building, so it's off to the side. But anyway, since it's the backyard and it's new constructions, that's why we are here for the variance. And we would like to do it because it needs to be done, and it would help the look of the building, it would help the look of the neighborhood, and for future generations who will live in this building once we are gone. And this is our architect, Andy Levine.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Andy Levine, architect for the project. The garage was originally built in 1927, at least the 3R report, which I can show here, was done with a permit. And it has currently a carport, meaning that it has the same footprint. Here's a picture of the current condition. There's a garage, there are two garage doors for the two car parking spaces, and there's no roof over it. Because of that, it's open to the weather, and it's a security problem. People have been climbing over the fence, and it's not secure. So the idea here, we've worked through with the staff planner and the historic group, as well and the residential design team, to accommodate and create a pleasant-looking, compatible garage that works with the historic home in the neighborhood. And there's a deck on top of it for the open space use of the second floor. I think that's the extent of our presentation. It's a seems like a simple project, straightforward.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else on your project team who would like to speak? Okay, great. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public comment. Yes, thank you for your presentation and for the information about the prior garage. It does seem like overall this would be an improvement for open space and be consistent with what's historically there. As you mentioned, I know this project worked with our design review team to kind of get to a point of agreement on the design features. I think the only point that was still a little outstanding was the width of the curb cut. I believe there was a request, which is pretty typical for when we're reviewing projects, to have a curb cut of only 10 feet, if at all possible. So we'd still want to explore that to the extent possible. Other than that, for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned in terms of the ability to kind of improve the open space, improve the street wall there, maintain what's been kind of the historic pattern there in the rear, and improve it from a safety perspective, I'm generally supportive of the variance, but again, I would like to take a little bit of time to work on the curb cut issue and make sure we get that to a place where we're all comfortable with that. But I'm generally supportive overall. So I'll take it under advisement, but we'll follow up on the curb cut issue to get to a final resolution on that. I think that's the only outstanding issue. Sure.
Can
absolutely.
We had direction from the staff planner, I think Laura Aiello, as well as the team about the curb cut, and it was we got a number of different guidelines. One was that to make it the 10 feet standard, but was also there's two garages, mm-hmm. Two garage parking spaces,
right?
And We also got direction to just to make the curb cut the size of the, to make it the minimum size that two cars could get out. And what we did was we aligned it with the edge of each of the garages. And we also pinched the two garages in as close as possible. So that's where we ended up. It's, I don't recall the exact dimension that we have at the final. Is it 12 feet or 15 feet?
15.
That's what I'm looking at now.
Yeah.
Now it is listed as...
The concern is a 10-foot garage space, and if cars park there, it might be difficult or impossible to get each of the two cars out of the parking spaces.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's what I want to check on, because I know right now it's proposed for 15 for two garage doors. Now, the garage doors here are pretty, you said, they're pinched. They're very tight, so it's not as wide as we typically have. And there's a particularly wide sidewalk area there. So I think there may be opportunity to bring that down a little bit. And I want to just explore that a little bit further and to finalize that. That's the only issue to finalize, really, though.
Okay. So that'll be part of your decision letter?
Yes. And we'll coordinate before finalizing the decision letter.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2015-008247 VAR. 440 to 448 Whaler Street, lot size and rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor.
Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for your time this morning. Jody Knight of Rubin, Junius & Rose on behalf of the project sponsor, Brian Kendall. As you know, the project proposes to merge two existing lots, maintain one lot on the Waller Street frontage, and then create two lots on the LaSalle Street frontage. And the reason for this is to be able to split that lot and develop the LaSalle Street frontage. There'll be two new dwelling units on each of those lots, two-bedroom units there. And basically, what that does is there's sort of an unattractive shed on the property. If I could get the overhead, you can see the street wall there. So there's a break in the street wall on LaSalle Street. That's this sort of old, unattractive building. And so what the project proposes to do is build two new buildings, four dwelling units on that frontage that will bring together the residential street wall. There'll be no curb cut on that side. Brian has met several times with neighbors, and they would like to see that shed gone and see residential use there. That'll provide eyes on the street and improve that block on LaSalle Street. Is the view of the new buildings. And you can see this sort of, sorry about that. You can see this sort of old shed that will be replaced by two new dwelling units. The project also proposes, which is a little less relevant to the variance, but just as an overview, some modifications to the Waller Street buildings. There'll be a slight increase in height of those buildings, that they can actually add a fair amount of habitable space by increasing the height of those buildings. They'll also, on 440 Waller Street, there'll be there's a kind of a gap between the buildings that will be filled in to create habitable space, but the rear of the residence will be pulled back in order to increase conformance of the rear yards. But because of the split and the configuration of these, we do require both lot size variances and rear yard variances. This is kind of a funny block in that there are a lot of very small lots and very small rear yards. And the proposal for the rear yards is actually quite compliant with the block, and in fact provides more rear yard space than many of the surrounding properties. The new lots on LaSalle Street will actually be code compliant. The lots on the Waller Street, which would be required to be 17 feet under the code, will be little over 12 feet and 15 feet, so just under the required, but still provides, you know, plenty of habitable open space for those units. To address one issue that I know was recently raised, which is regards to there's a small light well adjacent to 247 LaSalle, and that is, there's basically one small stairwell window in that light well. You can see it's a sort of a 1x2 little thing. And there's one small little stairwell window. Brian actually knows that neighbor well. They met at the site, and what we're proposing is to add a skylight to her building if possible, which will actually provide a lot more light than would be provided by a small matching light well there. And so we're happy to do, you know, what would be required to make that enforceable, assuming that that's necessary. He's going to meet with her again on Thursday. And really, he's going to live here with his family, wants to be a good neighbor, has good relationships with these neighbors. Apart from that, you know, and that neighbor is not in opposition, but that was the one issue that's been raised. Apart from that, everybody has been quite supportive of the project and would like to see new residences and new neighbors in the area. The last thing that I'll point out is that there are parking spaces to be added to the Waller Street buildings, which will serve the LaSalle Street buildings. And we think those are important for the family use of those buildings, as they will be family size units. The team is here and happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any members of the public who'd like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none. Thank you for the presentation. Yeah, I think the development on LaSalle, the smaller lots, and basically building code-complying structures there, that all makes sense with the pattern of what's there already on that block. So I definitely support the lot area variance there. I do want to talk a little bit about the rear yard variance for the Waller Street projects and how they are proposed, the existing building is proposed to be expanded. Could the architect maybe walk through the proposed interior and additions that are proposed to the Waller Street structure?
4. So as Jody mentioned, we've got the 4-car parking at the ground floor to accommodate some of the parking that would be serving those units at the LaSalle Street frontage. Moving upstairs, there is a single floor here that has bedrooms at the back and a living space at the front. A second unit up above the kitchen serving that living space with two additional bedrooms at the back there. So again, this is Brian's home with his children and family. And then a second unit up above with bedrooms also at the back to work with the living space at the front. And then a roof deck proposed at the uppermost floor. And I'll show you the section. The adjustment and the elevations are pretty straightforward in terms of the amendments made to primarily the ground floor to accommodate a new clerestory window composition that's evocative of a 2-over-2 scenario, one of which that, as Brian has been digging, seems to go back to a previous generation of this building. So that's something that we've been working through with staff in terms of a vernacular that's appropriate to the street, both with the adjacent neighboring buildings and the two that we're sort of responsible to here as well. This is the rear elevation for context. And finally, the section in context with the LaSalle property as well. So you see the common mid-block open space as well. Does that help you in any way?
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. And am I correct that the 311 notice for this project will expire in February 12th? Thank you. So again, the lot size variance, again, I don't think there's any real concern there. I think that's very consistent with the patterns there. I think the two things that I want to think about additionally are the existing building, as you mentioned, the way it's split now would be in its required rear yard, the vertical addition into that required rear yard. Kind of staying two to two units, mm-hmm. looking at what is the you know the rationale for that, and also in context with the additional parking. I know that a lot of the other homes on that block that front LaSalle don't have garages, mm-hmm. So that's a pretty common context for homes and buildings on LaSalle, especially that side of the block there, to not have parking. So. Mm-hmm. Looking at that issue as well, to my knowledge, we haven't gotten any, other than the neighbor with a potential light well issue, I'm not aware of any other feedback we've gotten from the public. Have you all heard anything during the 311 notice or the variance notice from any other members of the public?
Hi, my name is Brian Kendall. I'm the project sponsor. My family has lived here for 3 years, and when we bought the building, we had met with all the neighbors. I'm on Google Groups with the LaSalle Street neighbors. So when the 311 notice went out and the various notice went out, I had informed everybody either through Google Groups or in person. So everybody's been very supportive of the project. A family, previous family had owned the project for 140 years. And the homes and the shed and back are in complete disrepair, so they're all happy that we're here and living there and fixing it up.
Okay.
One of the reasons why we're asking for the rear yard variance is there's seven of us, and so we're using all the bedrooms in the back. And on the 440 house, we're actually cutting back the house 8 feet. To make that portion of the yard compliant.
Okay. One other thing on the parking. So LaSalle is a really narrow, I'm sure you know all the streets in San Francisco, but it's this really cute, narrow little street. And one of the issues that neighbors, you know, neighbors are always concerned about parking, but in this case, having a lot of traffic and a lot of people sort of driving around looking for parking on LaSalle Street is a concern because it is this narrow little street. So I think in this case, you know, that's an exceptional circumstance that that justifies, you know, having sufficient parking for the sum total of these units. Is also Brian's family is living there. We, you know, tried to create. Well, we are proposing two family or two bedroom units for all of those rear lots, and I think realistically, I know this that there's been a debate about parking, but I think realistically, you know, if we're going to encourage families to stay in the city, I think having the opportunity to have one car, no more, really allows families to stay in the city and have those be usable homes. So I think the sum total of the you know what those streets entail and also what we're proposing in terms of development justifies the parking, and of course we're putting the curb cut on Waller Street to prevent any issues on LaSalle Street from a curb cut. Okay. Thank you
very much. Yes, that was all helpful. Again, just noting that I appreciate that there's been a lot of engagement with the neighbors. That definitely seems to be the case. This is a somewhat complicated proposal, and considering that 311 is still out, I will take it under advisement to allow the 311 to complete. I am again supportive of the lot size variance. I'm understanding the rationales better for the rear yard variances, and I will continue to look into that and consider that and take it under advisement to allow 311 to complete. Thank you.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2019-011981 VAR, 436 Lyon Street, rear yard variance sought.
Good morning. My name is David Thompson. I'm the architect for the project. What we're presenting today, the proposed project, is to remove pretty much a dilapidated garage structure located at the rear of the property. Essentially, it sets on the rear property line and goes from side property line to side property line. I believe this structure was built in the 20s and had been used as a three-car garage. It's essentially falling down and needs to be dealt with. It seemed like a great opportunity to create a additional unit on the site. There's currently a three-story building located at the front that has two units, ground floor and second floor is one unit, and then a third unit, second unit on the third floor. So the proposed unit at the rear would match the size and the shape of the existing structure exactly. We just thought it would be what the neighbors are used to seeing back there, except not falling down and decrepit. The removal, since we're removing this and would like to rebuild it, because it's kind of almost impossible to repair, it requires a variance because of its location in the rear yard setback. So as I mentioned, and the property is zoned for three units, currently has two. This addition, this unit, would add a nice one-bedroom unit to the housing stock, and in doing so would remove kind of an eyesore structure from the neighborhood. I did meet with, there is one neighbor that shares structure there. I did, shares the common wall here. I did meet with the owner of that property who was excited to see that building being removed and something modern rebuilt there, and we discussed giving him the opportunity when it was removed to access that wall and do whatever repair and maintenance might be required to the siding there. We're of course happy to do that. It's also the property that is located behind would be the rear property. It's kind of a unique property in that it's landlocked There's no access to it, and there's no structures on it, so really no impact on anybody that would be using that property. I think that's really all I have to say. I haven't heard any comments or issues from any other neighbors, and just hoping that this is a project that the zoning administrator can support. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any members of the public who'd like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, public comments closed. Thank you for that. I basically agree with the points that you laid out. You already have the structure there. There's a pattern, there's an adjacent, which is fairly unusual. The adjacent structure in the neighboring rear yard is both large, it's two stories, and it's a residential building. It's not a rear storage or garage structure, so there's already a significant context there. And as you mentioned, the location of this lot on the block and the fact that the center block, lot is basically landlocked, there's a nice intact mid-block open space there, and the fact that you're basically just sticking with the same envelope that you have before, I think that all helps justify the variance. The only question that I wanted to just chat about was, I'm assuming that the access for this unit will be in the side little, what I guess used to be kind of a bit of a driveway back to the garage that was there. And do you have any intent on adding some type of gate at the front to access there, the rear, for two purposes? One, just to have a separation of that space, but also, there would be concern either, for this property owner or future property owners to still be able to park back there in the rear. And we'd like to, avoid that if we could, since that wouldn't be permitted under the code. So if you could address that issue, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. The planner, Matt Ditto, he did mention to me those concerns, as well as just hoping we were going to be greening the rear space, as well, which of course is our intention. I had forwarded Matt a revised site plan with showing the gates at the front, which we had every intention to install, just for the reasons you've mentioned, as well as just security, I thought, unfortunately, the site plan I printed here was the original one I submitted and not the revised one that I sent on to Matt, but I can assure you, yes, we would have a gate pretty much lining up with the front facade wall there, and well landscaped, and the owner is going to live in the ground floor unit and rent the other one, so she wants to have a nice garden as well.
Okay, thank you for addressing that. As I mentioned, I think this is meets all the required findings, and I intend to grant with standard conditions. Thank you.
Thank you.
As mentioned earlier, item number 10, case number 2017-009796 VAR, 1088 Howard Street, exposure variance sought, has been continued to April 16, 2020. Moving to the last item of the agenda, item number 11, case number 2019-002025 VAR, 333 27th Street, front setback variance sought. You're the project sponsor?
Put it on.
presentation mode?
It's actually, I made a PDF.
Oh, it's a PDF, okay. Yeah. So you should still be able to click through it, yeah.
Okay, just to the right.
To the right.
Okay. Hello, I'm Kamala Master, the architect for 333 27th Street. This project is currently a two-story residence, and we're adding a third story.
Something here.
Thanks so much. Thank you. And essentially, the only item that requires a variance is the bay windows on the front on the third floor. Because the lot is only 23 feet wide, and the existing bay windows that are angled on the ground and second floor go right to the inner property line, they don't meet today's code compliance for 1 foot set and from the inner property line. So we're requesting that we can align our proposed third floor angled bay window with the existing bay windows that are below on the second and the ground floor. And we're proposing that we have a new square bay window on the new third floor that we will set in 1 foot from the inner property line to meet the code requirements. And so here is the front elevation with the bay windows. And this was just a shot of inspiration of a Victorian in the neighborhood that has a similar cornice line above the entry with the bay windows above. These are the proposed floor plans for second, third, and roof plan. We'll have solar panels on top. And these are some sections and elevations. I show these because we submitted these new plans and elevations to Stephanie and they didn't make it to today's agenda. So I just wanted to make sure that that was visible to our ZA. But another question. I have the homeowners here if they want to add anything. I think it's pretty straightforward. It was supposed to be a consent item. And due to the logistics of the scheduling, it didn't get moved up. Do you guys want to add anything?
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you very much. As you mentioned, the angled bay, it absolutely makes sense given the narrow nature of the lot, the historic pattern of the front facade to continue to match that. I don't think there's any real issues with that proposal, especially considering the pattern on the adjacent property as well. The only potential issue was the added bay, and so I appreciate the revisions that were made there to help remove the need for a variance for that bay, and I would be inclined to grant this with the standard conditions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I guess there's nobody.
You're gonna recall
here for
other one?
The no-show, item number four.
Yes.
This is item number four, case number 2019-012339 VAR, 372 Dolores Street, exposure and open space variances sought. So there's no-show,
I still want to just, for the record, indicate that there's no one here to speak on this item. However, it is my intent to deny this variance. This was a proposal to create two ADUs, one of which did not meet exposure. The substandard exposure that it fronts on was substandard to the nature that it didn't even meet the minimum exception that I could grant administratively, and generally with all of these, we felt that is a substandard level of exposure that we generally don't support unless there's very unique circumstances, which do not appear to be the case here. So I intend to deny that variance.
Okay. So that's our last item, Mr. Zia.
Okay. Is there any public comment for any items that were not on today's agenda? No public comment? Okay. Well, then this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.